Okay, well, good morning. I'm about to bring her right on screen now. And there she is, the beautiful, awesome, quite accomplished Jadia Japan. Good morning, Jadia. Good morning, darling. How are you?
Good morning to you, Maureen, and good morning to St. Lucia. I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, it's an honor to have you on board. I think by now it is well sealed in your mind how honored I am to have you as part of the show today. So welcome to She Speaks.
Thank you.
Darling, you know the position you hold right now is that you're a director on the St. Lucia on the St. Jude's Hospital Board, right? That's one of the recent posts that you've undertaken as you recently come back, being called to the bar St. Lucia and all of that and more. We're getting to all of that in a minute. But I want to take it back. This little feisty little woman, this little feisty, well-spoken, outspoken, would not lie down like a sheep and take her debt, little woman. Take us back to where this all started. Was this always in you? Was that little pepper? Was that personality always part of who you were? Take us back to you as a child.
I think my mother would say yes, and I think my teachers would say yes. I was born in a small community of Bans Labri, and I grew up with my siblings, brothers and sisters. And so you grow up in a community where you interact with so many people. And so the people who know me from childhood up until now would say that I've always been an outspoken person, mm-hmm. always the one to be upfront and to try to solve the problems. Wow. So yes, but let's just say that who I am now has more to do with my experiences in my early years, mm-hmm. early teenage years,
right.
as I would have had the opportunity to work very closely with a number of leaders. I worked in a lot of community groups, and I must say that this would have been the foundation that allowed me to build my skills to interact with people and to discover that I had the leadership qualities that would have allowed me to serve and to perform at various levels.
Right. Do you have any siblings? What was it like growing up? You used to boss them around?
Yeah.
They didn't like it either.
I have. My mother has seven of us. And so for most of my life, I grew up with them. There were some periods of separation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that I would say that I boss them around. Probably they would say so. But, you know, when you grow up, and there are so many of you, your siblings are your friends. You play with them, you laugh with them, you go through your difficult periods with them. And so there is a lot I can look back on and laugh.
Right.
And say that, yes, this was the making of, you know, solid relationships. And this was the making of us being able to now stand up and make our mother proud.
Right.
She being a single mother, of course.
I want to talk a little bit about that, because your journey, people are now looking at it from the glory point, because they're looking at you. Oh, she's now a lawyer. She's this, she's that. She's so accomplished. Oh, she's, you know, but. Is that always the case for you? Were you born into a well-off-to-do, seven children with a mom? What was it like? Let's be real with the thing today, because I want to go there.
Over life, especially my early years, it was rough. I must say so. My mother raised us on her own. Mm-hmm. And my mother is a very simple, humble lady. She worked at a factory for most of her working life. And she supplemented her income by, you know, using her hands and trying different things. For example, I know my mom to be crocheting. She knits. She used to make teddy bears, flower arrangements. She makes her goodies that she still does, with the jams and the tamarind balls and so on. And from a young age, I have had that hustler mentality, because we would have to, she makes them, we sell them to try to see if we can get our bus fare to go to school and stuff like that. There were many days when we had nothing but each other. But it is in moments like these and experiences like these, you learn to value relationships, you learn to value the bonds. And as you grow old and you look back, you really see and understand the sacrifices that brought you to where you are.
Right.
Life was hard, mm-hmm. but at every point in life, I knew that my mother always had my back.
Right.
At every point, I knew that she made the sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many moments where she could have given up.
Yes.
But she just kept pushing forward and pressing on and trying to find new opportunities so that she can send us to school. That was always the thing for her, education,
right.
education, because she felt she lost the opportunity when she got married so young and had her children. But for her, she was like, education, no matter where you get to in life, no matter what point you are, constantly seek to learn, get these papers, educate yes. yourself, because this is the way out this is of the way poverty. Out.
Now, you as a child, at any point in time, did you understand that vision from then? Or were you? Did you have moments growing up? Because now you're out there in the world, you expose the children from all different walks of life. You're coming from that background where struggle was your reality. You're probably interacting and seeing children out there where they didn't have it, they didn't have to go through that. What was your driving force? Did at any time, did you feel to yourself inefficient? Did that have any bearing on you, or were you always, because of the way that your mom grew you and what you saw, were you always just very optimistic and didn't label yourself and see yourself as a failure at that time? I mean, back then, because you would have grown to many different things now.
Sure. I must say that there were moments in life where I felt like I couldn't see my way.
Right.
And it is difficult to dream beyond your circumstances.
Right.
And I just want to, it is something that I say to young people all of the time. When you're in a dark hole and you're facing difficulties, it is not very easy to look beyond your troubles and to see and understand that there's a greater purpose in life, that if you just take the next step, if you just fight through it, you can achieve something great. And for me, my way out, my way of seeing a life beyond my circumstances would have been to engage with other people and to put myself in circumstances and in networks where I was able to see a dream beyond where I was presently. So this is why I would say it is always important to align yourself and associate yourself with who you want to be,
right,
where you see yourself in the future.
Right.
If you remain in your circumstances and this is all you see is hardship, all you see is headache, all you see is all of the difficulties that you face,
right,
it can kill your hope and your dreams for the future. Right. So you put yourself in a youth organization.
Right.
You put yourself in a positive environment. Mm-hmm. And this, for me, was how I was able to see that there is a life beyond the struggle
that going through.
You know, no, I'm able to overcome.
I'm happy that, because I'm about to ask you that. Was that the driving force that got you so involved at such a young age with so many youths and the youth activities and the youth groups, which later on would have propelled you into where you are now? And back then, probably people didn't understand, but it was just an escape for you to just get yourself, to surround yourself so that you don't think too much on what was really happening with your life. So, I mean, so there you go. And that was a beautiful strategy, and you didn't cost any money to do that. As a matter of fact, you gained more than you were able to lose. Wow, this
indeed
is amazing.
I just joined youth organizations. I was part of the youth and sports councils, volunteer groups, and I would just spend my time going out. And as well too, Maureen, it is so easy for us to feel like our circumstances are the worst.
Yes.
You know, when you're going through a difficult time, oh my God, you just feel that you are the lowest of the lows and you know, all is lost. But when you go out there and you interact with people, you really begin to understand how some of your difficulties are blessings.
Yes.
And you're able to boost your own confidence through that. And you're able to appreciate more the little that you have.
Oh gosh, girl, that conversation really start off and going nice. Give me 1 minute. Let me highlight.
Sure.
Let me highlight the partners again. And then we're going to come back and talk about where you are to date, you know, the journey from there to here, and you know, where we're heading with this, because a lot more seems like it's in the pipeline, and I can't wait to find out. The Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need, Court St. Lucia and Dermalogics Clinic. Let's take a word from them and come right back.
If you're ready to own your own home, then it's time for us to meet. At Bank of St. Lucia, we believe in you. We believe that life is sweet. A mortgage that fits your life with amenities that can't be beat. BOSL Home Sweet Home. Now that's where life is sweet. A wise retirement. EduStack 2. No other bank will give all that to you. Convenience banking. Bank anywhere. No other bank can compare. BOSL Home Sweet Home. An all-in-one package. Nice and neat. BOSL Home Sweet Home. Yes! Life is sweet. I know I'm telling you.
When you're behind the wheel, stay alert. Driving safely should always be your top priority. Protect yourself and other road users by keeping your attention on the road. Stay alive, avoid distractions like cell phones, and maintain a safe distance from other vehicles. Only overtake when it is absolutely safe to do so. And remember to be on the lookout for motorcyclists. The life you save today may be yours. Alert today, alive tomorrow. This message is brought to you by AKT Motorcycles, available at Courts.
Problem skin should not be a problem. Milanopil's medical-grade cosmeceutical and acneceutical skincare effectively clears discolorations, melasma, and acne. Visit us to learn more.
Clear skin is possible with Milanopil.
Get it exclusively in St. Lucia at the Dermalogics Medical Laser and Facial Aesthetic Clinic, located in Rodney Bay at the Providence Medical Center on the same floor as Lucilec.
This is the first I've seen my platform going off. My chat feed is all, the chat room is it's loaded. I'm looking at my numbers trending on the screen, and I think this is the highest I've seen my numbers in a long time for one of my shows. So I know that you've got a lot of fans and persons who are really rooting for you and is supporting you out here, who is definitely here now with us. Good morning to Martha James. Thank you very much for that sentiment, Jadia. Let's talk yes. about what happens then. Okay, so you got very involved, and as a result of you getting involved in so many youth activities, so many youth oriented programs, throughout your school days, be it from primary to secondary, you did the Viewfoot Comprehensive at some point.
Yes.
Right. So
yes,
going through all of that, you were just still very much involved in a lot of groups.
Yes.
You were part of the National Youth Council at one point.
Yes,
yeah, you were the president or vice? What were you? Vice president.
Yes.
Right, you were part of, and then you moved on to become part of the youth group for the political party. Is it?
Yes.
Right.
The Sinusha Labour Party.
Right.
Yes.
So I want to listen. We know you're educated. I don't want to go to all this thing about where you go on educate. We know she educated, and trust me, right now you can jump on, just Google her name. You'll get all that you need to get if you want to get down into specs. So I really want to keep it, you know, at that level, at that you know, movement level where we are now seeing what it is, the transition, how it is that you can inspire our young people to see that, hey, there is possibility. This is a young lady that grew
yes.
up with seven children, with one mom who was trying to make ends meet. It did not stop her from pushing herself and getting involved. And look at how it started. It started from her just simply engaging meaningfully to little youth groups, which later on, you know, which gave her skills and gave her, and you know, that she's now able to move on. And this is why. So you see, now she's progressing. It's not because she had a daddy that had money, or she had a mommy that had, or she had a family that, or it's not Kenny Anthony that pushed her. The young lady pushed herself from day one. Right? So let me get that out of the way. Let's talk now about when, you know, sometimes you just had to put the thing out there, because, you know, I think sometimes we find ourselves all wrapped up in a lot of little nonsense, and we miss the point. And we miss an opportunity
sure.
for us to be inspired as well, because we put too much on it. You know, we need to know how to move past that. So let's talk now about being, when you did get onto the group, because I think most of the
yes.
your entry into the political realm, where you become such a force, started off when you became part of that youth group. Now, somebody,
yes.
you were identified,
fact,
or you started? It started before. So walk us
yes.
through the journey.
So I live at Grace, Viewfoot North.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is from Grace and my dad is from Labrie. So
right.
when my parents separated, my mom moved back to Grace. And so this is how I live at Grace, Viewfoot.
Right.
And my entry into politics actually came about as a result of the community work that I was doing.
Wow. Talk to us.
Musa. Yes, Musa, who is my current parliamentary representative, at the time I was serving on the Grace Development Committee.
Right.
And we were pushing for a community center for that community. We felt that governments historically had not done enough for Viewfoot North.
Mm-hmm.
And the context is very important, because Viewfoot North has always been represented by the St. Lucia Labour Party
yes.
administration, whether in opposition or in government.
That's right.
And so we were pushing that group, we were mobilizing. And we were not easy in terms of our demands for representation for our constituency.
Right.
Musa, in 2006, he wanted to become the Sinusha Labour Party candidate for Beaufort North.
Right.
And I'm walking down the road with my baby on my arm, just minding my business. And this car pulls up next to me. And he said, Jadia, I have been looking for you. Yeah. I was like, hey, Musa, I recognize him because, I mean, he was a teacher. He's a community person. We know him. And I said, well, hey, how may I help you? And he shared with me his desire to become the candidate for the Sinusha Labour Party. That would have been in 2005.
Right.
He explained to me the process that he has to enter into a runoff. There is another candidate. And he believes for him to become the candidate, he must have me on his team.
Wow.
He said that he recognized that I have the skills, the influence, I'm very outspoken. And so he wants me to come on board with him to assist him in achieving that objective. Mm-hmm. And Musa is someone that I believe in. Mm-hmm. He's someone from since back then. I knew that he was genuine. I really and truly understood his style of representation. He believed in grassroots representation,
right,
which is what my own understanding of my own advocacy was at the time.
Right.
And so I came on board and worked with Musa, began working in his groups, his management group, mm-hmm, and started chairing his constituency meetings. Mm-hmm. And this is how I met Dr. Anthony. In fact, he came to Beaufort North. He was prime minister and there was a political meeting and I was chairing that meeting. Mm-hmm. And well, I did not know at the time because I had no interaction with him. I just went on there and I did my thing.
Right.
And then when I met him 2 years later, he said to me on that night when he saw me at that meeting, he said, this is a young lady with a lot of potential. This is one for the future. And this is basically after we had lost the elections, he drove down to Beaufort, came to my workplace and said to me that he had, you know, done his research to find out where I was. He's coming to me because he wants me to work with him in the office of the leader of the opposition.
Right.
And this really is how I got involved
in the whole
politics at the national level.
At that point now, were you at that point where you were ready for that level? Did you think that, because there were a lot of things going on, you know, the politics on the ground here, it's like, okay, well, you might, and you thinking that you come in with a mandate and a mindset of talking about grassroots, but normally when you get to that height of level, it is believed that, okay, there are certain things you just can't really focus on, because you in your little community setting might say, well, okay, I want to do that for the community. But when you get to that level, there's so many other things to spread across the board that your community might have to get a little left behind. So were you at the time thinking you were ready for that level?
No, I absolutely not. I don't think I was prepared at all. In fact, just seeing the former prime minister driving into the yard at my workplace, I mean, I was really excited because from then up until today, I think I remain Dr. Anthony's greatest fan. It is such an honor to be able to work so closely with someone who I considered to be my own hero. I considered him to, and now he's my mentor. So seeing him drive into the yard, I was just stunned for a little while, and I assumed that he was coming to see the manager, that he was coming. I never thought that he was coming to find little old JDS up here from, you know, the countryside and that kind of thing. And the thing about it is that when he came, he said, I do not need an answer right now. There is absolutely no pressure. And he told me why he wanted me to work with him, because he had a vision that if we were able to reorganize the party and if we were able to go back to our base and so on, we'd be able to get back into office. And I called Musa and I said, Musa, well, you never believe what happened. And I explained to him that Dr. Anthony came, and he said, well, this is a great opportunity. And so I started working with Dr. Anthony. When I started working with Dr. Anthony in the opposition leader's office, we did not even have an opposition leader's office at the time. and so we were basically just reorganizing, getting things going. I got involved in the party at the national level, got involved in the Sinusha Labour Party youth organization, did the mobilization, met a group of wonderful persons there who shared the vision, who shared the ideas. And we organized that SLPYO, because at the time there was no organized group and so on. And we built it from there.
Right. Were you basically given, at that point, did Dr. Anthony have that confidence enough to have given you the opportunity to have, you know, Rain, like, do your thing. It was not a, like, okay, a mandate, okay, you need to do that. And I did he give you that opportunity to because you had, you remember, you had your own concern, you had your own ideas of how you wanted to rally and bring this whole movement together in terms of moving forward. So were you yes. given the opportunity to deal with it, like, from that standpoint, from a personal standpoint? Where
yeah,
you could have put
and,
your personal
and I could have never understood. Yeah, even now I sometimes just I wonder why this doctor actually has so much confidence in me and my abilities and so on. And when I look back and I look at where I am right now, I recognize the growth, and right. I know that a lot of it has to do with his influence and how he has invested. He has invested the time. He gives his guidance, the opportunities, and so on. And the thing about it is that Dr. Anthony is not someone who imposes his ideas or right. his beliefs on how right. things should be done. There's always an opportunity to have a discussion. Mm-hmm. There's always an opportunity, even though he's the leader, to guide him into where you believe certain things should be happening. Right. And so I think for me, from the get-go, I always felt valued. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like my voice had a place
right.
in the decision-making process. And he always took the guidance and listened. Because the thing about it is that when you work on the ground mm-hmm. and you work on the public relations end of things, you are exposed to so much more than the leaders would, because they are a bit more protected. They do not have the time to take in every news yes. cast. Right. They are not interacting with people as often as you. And so certainly he needed the guidance at the time. Mm-hmm. Even before I became press secretary, he needed that guidance and the grounding in the constituency and at different levels in society as well. So he always gave me that free hand to engage.
Right.
And allowed me to interact with people so that I, in turn, can guide him with the knowledge
with
that
the knowledge
I would
that
have
you,
been
you've
acquiring.
Been. Right. Do you believe now that across the board, let's talk politics in general now, because it seems very much that this is where JD is definitely going to be. That's the journey. That's what we're thinking. Are we correct?
I'm certainly not sure as yet, I can tell you that, but all doors are open.
For now.
I am the type of person where all doors remain open as it relates to my development and my service.
Right, but let's talk in general. From the time you
yes.
came into, you sort of changed the scope in terms of women in the politics. Do you see yourself, hold on, wait for me, because before you, even after you, we have women in politics, but they are very almost non-existent. For want of a better word. Oh, guys don't feel no way, but it's the truth. You know, I mean, like, you know, we need comments. No, it's not an out. It's a matter of we understanding. This thing have a place for women, and we need the voices. We need it. We need it strong. We need persons who are strong like yourself, who's going to speak. Not be afraid to speak because you're afraid somebody's going to pull your short tail on the corner there. You understand what I'm saying? You have to be, it's a tough place, and you have to be prepared for that. So I do not blame any woman before or after if they were not cut out for it, or they didn't want to be dragged into, so they kept a little, you know, they pulled themselves back. Your personality, which we have seen over time, We got hope in that light. We got hope in that light. Do you believe that there's place for your type and your sort of personality to? Do you think we need more of JDs in the political realm from a woman's standpoint?
I mean, I always say there's one JD, and probably that's the challenge that we have. If people try to model their approach to politics and their approach to their jobs after how I did it. Because mm-hmm. the thing about it is that I did it how I knew best.
Yes.
And I did it in an era where the circumstances were different. And I also did it in an environment where I had the full confidence of my boss,
right.
full support, and I had the access that would have allowed me to make certain decisions on my own, to make certain decisions quickly, so that I always appeared to be on the ball and responsive to circumstances as they arose.
Right.
In politics, your performance is often tied to the people that you serve.
Right.
And you must really have a background, you know, insight into how things operate so that you could understand the limitations that anybody who serves, whether it's in a communication capacity, etc., would face.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the relationship that I have with Dr. Anthony, it is very easy for me to represent him. Mm-hmm. I basically grew with Dr. Anthony in the politics, so I understand him. I understand his thinking. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that will be said to me now that I can respond to instinctively and immediately on Dr. Anthony's behalf,
right?
Even before I check in with him, right? Because I know Kenny Anthony.
Right.
Now, if you are performing that kind of role for someone that you do not have a personal relationship with,
okay,
for someone where there is that level of trust and confidence, mm-hmm, where you do not understand each other,
right,
you would always appear to be on the back foot.
Oh, God.
So, because you would have to be checking minor things, you, mm-hmm, would have to be going through processes and,
right,
and that kind of thing. So I think that is a challenge that a lot of those before me and after me would have faced,
right,
that the position was, you know, we're looking at the person's skills,
yeah,
but we are probably not focused enough on, mm, looking at that critical relationship and that personal,
right,
relationship that is needed so that you are able to perform
that
task.
Level. I like
yes,
that.
But we this. need more women. I'm, mm-hmm, always one who would advocate for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think as well, this is not a role. Politics, your personality shines through politics.
Mm-hmm.
And you can fake it for a while, but it will not stick.
Right.
If you don't love people, you do not have a place in politics.
Right.
If you're not patient and understanding of circumstances beyond where you live, circumstances beyond your own experiences,
mm-hmm,
then you really should not be in politics. Politics is about service. And because I come from a background of service, where I've seen difficulties, where I live among people who continue to struggle, the everyday struggle of a St. Lucian is my everyday life. And
right,
so living that life, I'm able to represent it and I'm able to conduct myself in such a manner,
mm-hmm,
that I'm able to move between the various levels in society,
right,
and give representation to all where needed.
Right. Your line now, you have now gone. We have to wrap up. It's already 2 minutes after 11 o'clock. We already, they're coming. And you see, they're coming to me just now. Half an hour was definitely not enough. I have to say that all the time. But you went on to study law. What was,
yes,
there something strategic? Was there something that you, walk us through? Because political science, one could have said you could have gone on to study that. Economics, I think you've done some studies along the line of economy as well. Law, tie it all together for us, so we get a sense as to what it is, you know, where the journey is going.
Sure. I think where I am now, everyone can see very clearly the influence of Honorable Dr. Kennedy Anthony
okay,
in my life. And so I became exposed to law through Dr. Anthony.
Right.
When I worked with Dr. Anthony in the opposition leader's office, he run his legal practice side by side.
Right.
And so I would constantly be engaged in doing legal work for him and doing, being exposed to certain things.
Right.
As well, when I served as press secretary to the prime minister, Dr. Anthony, being a lawyer, infused law into almost every single decision that he made. When we lost the elections in 2016, for me, it was an opportunity to do something different, to do something big, to invest in myself in such a way that I would have acquired the skills to move on and to operate as an independent person. The usual thinking is that once you enter politics, your entire life is supposed to be dependent on someone giving you a handout, someone giving,
yeah,
you a job, or someone creating opportunities that are linked to government. For me as a person, I wanted my mark to be the person who used her difficult circumstances to create something that is big, something that is meaningful, and something that would inspire other people. You really do not need to be tied to any government, political party, agency, and so on, so that you can create something out of yourself. And so with Dr. Anthony's support and guidance, I went on to study law. I studied at UWE, spent the 5 years in the struggle. Everybody knows what that is. And I just so happened to come back in time for the general elections where, you know, after I wrote the exams, I had to put everything on pause there and just go back into the streets and
right,
go on the ground and work
right,
in the constituency. And thereafter, you know, come back on and put on that robe and say, okay, yes, we are a lawyer now and we're going to do legal work.
Absolutely. Now, Jeria, you may have in your tenure, in your stint, because you know how your politics set up in your country. You don't need me to tell you that. During your tenure, when you were performing the role of press secretary, and you were the voice, really, for the party, and so outspoken and very much on point, you may have created so many enemies, for want of a better word. So many people would have made up their mind about you then. They just decided, oh, she's just too nuff. You know, and you know, maybe even now you have people who really do hold that really hard place in their heart towards you. What would you say? Because I had it at one point there. One time I said, but that girl, let's just talk. I get vexed because at the end of the day now, when you have to stop, but you see, not very many people are at that position where they can decipher and say, well, all right, at the time, the boy, I vexed because she was just too much on. And it's not that we vexed because you were just too on. We couldn't keep up, you know, so we get vexed then. So, you know, when we get vexed then, but not very many people now could look past that and say, well, that was an era where she was doing her job, and now make her say, all right, this girl is just cut out for this. You have to at some point in time stop and say, boy, she is a boss in whatever she did, when she did it, you know. But very many people would not take it to that level. They will keep it at the level where they just see you as the person that they just dislike because you were just right. So how does that make you feel? And do you have a desire to change their perception? How do you feel about it? Would you like it to be changed? Or would you like for people to see more of the real you and maybe understand you from a different standpoint? Do you have that desire? And what would you say to people who still hold that mentality?
I would say one thing is that in politics, and Dr. Anthony taught me that, you don't take anything personally.
Right.
A lot of these people, some people, when they look at me, they see what they want to be.
Yeah.
Some people look at you, they look at your success, and they see their limitations. And that is something that can be very frightening for a lot of people. And so they do not know how to deal with it. And they do not, you know, for them, they look at you, they see your success, they see someone who's doing something great, and it makes them feel vulnerable, inadequate, and insecure. I understand. And so I do not hold anything personal against these people. I still wish them well. Mm-hmm. And if there is anything I can do where I use my skills and my influence and my talent to assist them in moving forward in life, it is certainly something that I would do. I do not hold in my heart a burden of how people see me,
right,
what people think about me, because I mean, Maureen, I have walked some streets. I have been at some very difficult places in my life. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, I simply want to help as many persons as possible. I do not want to focus on the negative. You will be doing nothing, and there will be people who do not like
That's
you.
Right.
And so my energy really is to try to see how I can help young mothers out there, how I can help vulnerable youth out there, how I can help people who, you know, otherwise will not have access to justice, who do not know their own rights, who do not know what opportunities are on the other side, so that they can progress and move on in life. And that's just the best that I can offer right now. If I would have offended anyone in any way or disrespected anyone in any way, whether it be in the execution of my duties or even in my personal interactions, I sincerely apologize. It was never a personal intention of mine to go out to seek to harm anyone, to destroy anyone, or to hurt anyone. I'm just the type of person, if I'm tasked with a responsibility, I do it to the best of my ability. I leave absolutely no stone unturned.
That's right.
When I am on a mission.
Absolutely.
And if I were to do it again, I would go harder for Kenny Anthony and for my party, just as I did. And now, in my new transition into law, that's the guarantee. I will go hard for my clients. I will work to the best of my ability and just always ensure that my best foot is forward.
Absolutely. JJ, well said. This was such a beautiful conversation this morning. See why I was excited about
Thank
this?
You.
Because this story people needed to hear. They needed to understand, and they needed to get off their high horses and realize, oh, well, she's a lawyer now. Kenny Anthony, little puppy. No, that struggle came from down back then, where you did not give up, which was the first point.
It was
you did
tough.
Not give up.
Yes.
You could have gone anywhere with this. But you propelled yourself, and now here you are reaping the benefit of it. And not just reaping the benefit of it, you know, but the fact that you are now using everything that you've acquired along the way, really and truly, to just inspire and pull up. And that is amazing. And we appreciate you, girl. We see you.
Thank you.
We see you. Thank you so
much.
It was an honor to have you today.
Thank you.
All the best, girl. Who knows?
Same.
Maybe
it was a pleasure to be
me
here.
In trouble, and I might have to call you in the future. Who knows?
Sure.
Wonderful. Have a great one, dear. Anything you want to say before you leave? Anybody you would like to
I just want to say thank you. And I really want to say to all young people who are out there who are listening, or even other persons who are in a difficult position in their life right now, the key is to just never give up. It is okay to dream beyond your circumstances. Who you are today really does not determine where you can be in the future. Stay positive, focus on you. Quiet the noise that is around you, and just always ensure that you remain positive and dedicated in every circumstance that you find yourself.
Thank you again, darling. You're an awesome, inspiration to us all, and we appreciate you. Oh, God. You see, I was looking forward to this conversation. I knew it was going to be an awesome one. Thank you, Jadia. Have a lovely rest of the day, guys.